What up, Whiskey Ginger fans? Welcome back to the show. It's a good one for you this week, baby. Adam Devine is my guest. I love this dude. I've known him for many, many years. He's a good egg. I like him very much. If you want to know what's going on with me, go to AndrewSantino.com. Not touring until next year. I'm shooting Dave Season 2 on FXX and Hulu, and also might be on some other platforms that I can't talk about right now in the future. But if you want to support the podcast, go to patreon.com/whiskeygingerpodcast. It means a lot to us over here. It helps us help those that are helping make this possible. I do one-on-one Cheeto chats. I do Zooms for the top tier. We got all sorts of stuff on there that you will love, and I'm going to continue to update it as time goes on. So support the Patreon, please. Also, if you want to get stuff like this, the merch, the sweaters, the hats, the glasses, all that stuff is AndrewSantinoStore.com. And if you're on YouTube, look right down below. There's a merch bar straight down there with shirts and all the links to the stuff. You'll see the shirts right there. Click on a shirt or the sweater or whatever, and it'll take you there. Enough rambling from me. Let's go to the episode.
In here, we pour whiskey.
You were that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers are hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I mean it. Once again today, it's Adam Devine. Adam, cheers to you.
Hey, cheers to you,
cheers,
buddy.
Cheers, it clinged.
Thank you
Adam is an incredible actor, comedian, writer, performer, brain, gymnast. For 17 years, he was on the U.S. men's Olympic
team. Yeah, that is
team.
A weird little known fact about me for
Why
17
years. Why don't you talk about that anymore?
It's like my dear little secret.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want big Hollywood to know if all of my talents.
Right, you want to hide some of that stuff.
Yeah, you got to ooze them out through the years.
It's like when a guy there's like a guy on that does a guest star. I'm referencing something specific. A guy that did a guest star on the show was doing like accents in between takes, and I was like, "What are you doing? Like, what is he doing?" And he kept doing them like very
like on Dave or on this show.
On Dave.
Okay.
And we're doing like. How funny if I had background actors on this show.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't hear background. I thought you meant just a guest.
He would walk. He would
and I'm
walk.
Like, you do takes?
Yeah,
during
we do.
The podcast?
Mike, and send them now. Send
okay,
them now.
Cut. You know, I wish you could tell that story about when you were hit by the cement truck. Funnier.
Add some judge to it. Lighter. I don't know. Make it like it was sunny out or raining. No, we had this guy. He was a guest star. I'm sorry, not background, but he was a guest star. But he kept doing accents. And I was like, at first I was like, he's just playing around and, you know, whatever. And he was talking to one of the crew members. Or whatever. And then it kept going and going. And I was like, oh, he wants someone to hear him do the accent.
Yeah.
And then go, this guy's great. We got to let this guy do the thing.
We have to put this guy on SNL.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to call him out because
he
was on SNL, but an actor. And I was doing like... Doing stand-up and doing some show. I can't remember exactly what it was, but we were doing a show together.
Right.
And we were on the same bill, and we were in the green room together, and he kept talking to me in accents. Like, wouldn't stop doing characters.
Fallon. This is Fallon.
And wouldn't stop doing characters to where I'm like, I don't know if he has a real personality, if he's, like, a human.
Right.
Behind that.
Right.
Or if, like, his whole comedy cloak... is like he's like a shell of a person. Then he like wraps himself in these characters, and he's like, "This is all I need." This
were any of them good?
They're all great.
Okay.
He's very good at them.
Sure.
He's fucking slam dunk all the time.
I want to know who it is so bad. We'll talk off camera.
Yeah.
And the fans get mad. They always like just tell us too. And you're like, no, because that's you know.
Well, I'm also like blanking on his name a little bit, so
that's even better.
It's also partly I don't really
know who it is, but I know who it is.
I could tell. I could draw him right now.
Right.
If I could draw, I could draw him.
Yeah, but that's it. But you don't know his name.
I've been
forget people's name. Andis. I forget people's name on such a regular basis now that sometimes I'm afraid. Oh, this here. I'll give you an exact reference.
I wish you're like, this here. You pulled up.
I don't know who you are.
I was like, Andy?
I go, Mikey. This is really sad and really does piss me
they
off.
Like this on the pod.
Yeah, they love it on the pod. Ice.
AMSA. Is that AMSA?
S-A-S-M-R.
A-S-A-S-M-R.
It stands for Andrew Santino More Roar.
More roar.
Yeah, more roar.
That makes a lot of sense.
I couldn't remember. I was thinking about you in the shower, as I do every single Thursday. That's like a thing. And I was thinking about when you first, this is real, when Adam and I first started doing stand-up together, or not at the same time, but when we met in L.A.
Not that far off, probably, from
No,
the same
not too
time.
Much. I think you started before me, I feel like, for sure. Mm-hmm. Because you worked at the Improv, and then you were doing stand-up then, too. And I think I just moved to L.A.
Okay.
And then, but I specifically remember being at the bar at the Improv again, and you showed up with Blake. And you introduced me to Blake.
And you were like,
And I was so turned on, honestly. And I rubbed my cock through
his
hair.
Look at this hair.
Sexy dude. And I remember you going, this guy's funny as shit. Blake's Santino Blake. And I was like, oh, nice to meet you, man. I was like, you do stand up? And he goes, no, man, no. No, no. No, but no, I do comedy, but not stand up. And I was like, oh, okay. And then you mentioned
weird,
you were like, we're going to do this show together. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, all right, well, good luck.
Well, you know? We were shooting like web videos together. I was kind of like running down two sort of parallel paths at that point where I was like, I'm doing my stand up and I have like a whole group of friends of like you and Morin.
Yeah, and Ray and all those guys.
Yeah, Adam Ray and all those guys. And like my stand up buddies who fully just know me as a stand up comedian. Yeah. And then my buddies that I live with that I'm shooting videos with, who ended up being the guys I did Workaholics with.
Right.
So I was doing all that stuff kind of off to the side. And like some people were like, oh, dude, I saw that video. That was funny.
Yeah.
Like I love that compliment.
When a bigger comic,
like, especially when you're just starting out and you're like barely above an open mic level.
Yeah.
When you're just starting to get booked on real shows. And like the bigger comic is like, you're actually pretty funny.
Yeah,
when they see something that isn't your stand-up, they're like, you're actually pretty funny. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, because your stand-up I've seen.
And I hated it.
I didn't like you at all. I can't believe I'm talking to you right now. I get it. Sometimes people go, you're actually like a good actor, which is such an insult. And they don't, it's like, just say you liked the thing I did. Don't go, you're actually a good actor.
Yeah, because actually,
all it means is, I thought you would suck.
Yeah, for sure.
I thought you would suck. I had no reference of why, but I go, that Divine's going to suck.
You know what? Did you think I was?
No.
You think
I was gonna? Yes. Yes.
Well, it just is, because some stand-ups, I would say historically, stand-ups are bad actors because they're so, the whole thing with stand-up comedy, well, for a lot of people, is you have to get your voice down.
Yeah.
And if you have your specific voice, that POV, that's what an audience will attract to and be like, I fucking love his singular vision for his comedy. But then when you're an actor, you have to embody the character.
Totally.
You can't just be Andrew Santino the role.
In my thing. Yeah,
you can to an extent, like for sure.
Well, they want you, right? Yeah. I've always said that. They hired you because they really like the piece of you that you found. But you need to be able, I've said this before on the show, I think there's only a handful of actually incredible actors. Everyone else, I think, is a range of like pretty good or you're good or you're serviceable or whatever. Because for acting, it's like only so many people are so fucking good that they can chameleon into a role and you're like, I didn't even recognize.
For sure.
They like transformed. Like,
for sure. I just want to be like a Vince Vaughn level where you're like, and also huge. I do have a giant ego. I'm not saying I don't.
I want to be mega famous is what I'm saying. More
than
famous.
I mean, like, he is an actor. He is he's not the perfect example. I would say I would like to be John Goodman, where like, just as far as career trajectory goes, where you're like, he can be the star of a sitcom. He can be number two on a sitcom and be fucking awesome and super lovable.
Yeah.
And then go off and be in like 10 Cloverfield Lane and be a fucking weirdo. And you still buy it.
Yeah. No, totally. I mean, he's probably
and host
of the
SNL like a ton.
That's true. That's true,
like,
too.
He's done everything. He's been a huge King motherfucking Ralph. He's done
one
big
best,
broad
one of
comedies.
The best movies of all time.
He's done sitcoms. I'm like, if that to me is like a great career where, and also not too famous.
Right. You know what I mean? He's famous, but he seems like someone who doesn't seek the attention. So
he's famous, but he's not like, I feel like if you were to see, like a Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Like if you're a big comedy fan and you see Will Ferrell, you're like, heart stops. You're yeah. like, oh shit. Yeah. Oh my fucking God. Oh,
it's phenomenal. The dude.
And then you see a John Goodman and you're like, oh, I love that guy. Hell yeah. Hey, John Goodman. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right. You know it's what a mean? Different, a different experience.
Yeah.
Of like, yeah, that is interesting. Well, I don't know why that. Maybe it's because he seems so fucking lovable and personable that you're just like, oh, I gotta talk to John Goodman, which I think is a good characteristic to have. But also, like, you're somebody that's very lovable and like super affable.
They don't realize what an asshole
you're a piece
I
of
am.
Shit. Piece they don't. They shit. Don't know that you're a dickhead.
You've known me a long time.
And they come
the
up
skeletons.
To you and they go, Adam, hey, and you go, fuck off.
Yeah.
Fuck off,
and then I
idiot.
I just put my thumb like this and just dig it into him. No one will believe you.
Get out of here, you little.
No one will believe you.
Like, how many times you when I started seeing you at Clipper games because you got season tickets and I would go with Griff or whatever or go with someone. Mm-hmm. How many times are people bugging you when you're going? Did it turn into more annoying as time went on? Because, like, at a basketball game, it's unavoidable that a bunch of people are going to be like, "He's right there."
Well, the thing is, it's always the worst. And not even, I don't mind it. So it's, I wouldn't say worst, yeah. but it's always the most, the first 5 to 10 games of the season.
It's crazy.
Until, because, especially where I sit at Clipper games, a lot of those people are season ticket holders yeah. or at least bought a 15 game package and they're used to seeing me there and they kind of know that I'm going to be there. So it's not right. shocking. But like the first, handful of games, people are like, oh, is that him? Is that him? What's his name? What is his name?
What's his name?
Andy. What is it? Is it Andy? Anders. Blake. It's one of those names.
It is true that when you hear someone go, "What is his name?" or "What? Oh, what's his name? Oh, he's from the. Oh, dude, he's from a Modern Family, dude."
Yeah,
and they'll
for
just
sure.
yell, and then you'll go, "Hey."
Well, I'm very glad that I chose when we wrote Workaholics when we were creating the show. That we decided to go by our first names.
Oh, smart.
Because at first we didn't. We chose different names. That were, I was Andy.
Really?
I was Andy. Blake was Blaine.
Blaine.
And Anders was like Eric or some shit. And Comedy Central was like, why not just do your first names? And to their credit, they were very smart. They were like, if this show is the hit that we hope it is, people are going to scream this at you for the rest of your lives. So you're going to want a name.
Yeah, it's true.
You're going to want just your first name. Change your last name. So we changed our last names.
Why did you change the names? I've always thought about that. When you guys did the show, something hit me. I was like, why is it? Because your name on the show was Adam DeMamp.
That's right. DeMamp. Yeah.
Where did that? What? Why?
That was my fake ID name.
Oh, really?
When I was like 16 years old.
That's dope.
Yeah. I was, my buddy got like the Photoshop first gen, like the first Photoshop, right. And he could figure out how to rearrange the letters in your name, but not, and delete letters, but not add new letters.
Right.
So you had to yeah. use the letters that were in your name to make a new name for yourself.
Oh, wow, dude.
Because we're 16 years old and we're like, dude, if you use the real name and they catch you, you're prison for life, dude. No, for real.
No, I know a guy. No, I know a dude.
Afghanistan.
Yep.
Prison for life.
I grew up
with
the dude.
They just say buzzwords. Yeah. Hey, Bin Laden, Afghanistan, prison for life.
That's just how it goes, bud.
So I was like, I rearranged the letter. My name is Adam Patrick Devine. They got rid of most of the Patrick, kept the P, and I was Devin D. DeMamp.
DeMamp.
So I was Devin DeMamp.
By the way, sounds like a fake ID name. If I'm a bouncer, I'm like, Devin DeMamp, and you're like, it's me.
It's me. I'm 23. Meanwhile, I'm 16. I didn't want to be 21.
I'm 23, obviously.
Yeah, I already look...
Yeah,
you look young since
I've known you.
I've always looked young.
Yeah, but that's such a good quality.
It is.
I've been 40 since you met me.
That is true.
I've always been 40.
That is true.
I was 40 before I ever
but
even...
But there will be a time when I surpass you, when you
we
stay
when
looking
we cross?
40, and yeah. all of a sudden you're like, oh, Adam, I just bottom out. I just I'm leveled down. All of a sudden my neck just shoots.
So DeMamp was the fake ID when you were a kid. Mm-hmm. And then the other guys just pick whatever bullshit names just to service them for the show too?
Yeah, pretty close to their own names.
Yeah, to their
yeah.
real shit.
Yeah.
Well,
Henderson, Blake Henderson,
right.
Instead of Blake Anderson.
What was Durs?
Anders Holmvik instead of Holm.
Oh, Holm. Yeah, that's true. Holmvik. I didn't know his last name on the show. Mm-hmm. Two things. One, when I was thinking about you in the shower and I was thinking about our connected history, I was thinking about people from Comedy Central from back in that day that we used to see all the time.
And you're like, oh my God, they're there.
Well, I was just running through the whole, like, none of those guys are that old regime that we knew back then is all gone. And it was just making me, I was just reminiscing because I was thinking about you and about when the improv was hot as a pistol back then. And it was blessed every night with like the best names, the biggest crowds. It was so much fun.
Dude, I worked there from like 2004 to 2006.
Yeah.
And then I got the Montreal Comedy Festival.
Right.
And
that's when I met you, right after that.
Yeah. New Faces. Which, like, the Montreal Comedy Festival, for those that don't know, they invite 20 new... Did you ever do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. They invite 20 new faces from around the world that they call the new faces of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like, when you're especially a young... it's, like, a huge honor.
Massive.
And you're, like...
Such a big deal.
You're, like, I'm on my way. And you kind of are, admittedly.
You are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And...
But it's going to take longer than you think.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's not going to be next year.
You're, like, they're going to give me $1 million when I get there.
Tomorrow. Yeah. And so... I did that and came back and was working. I still needed money. I wasn't making shit doing comedy.
Yeah,
I was still like a feature act getting like $50, $100 a show if I'm lucky.
If you're lucky.
And so I was, I came back and was working at the Improv, and I remember an executive from NBC came in and was like, and I'm like checking IDs at the door. And he goes, didn't I just see you at the Montreal Comedy Festival? And I'm like, this is my shot. He's spotted me in the wild.
He remembered me.
He's going to give me a deal. Sitcom
gonna
deal.
Going to give you a deal.
You work at an improv. You work at a comedy club as a door guy. And he
what
was like...
What a positive outlook, by the way.
Yeah, for sure. I'm
like,
nothing but
great.
Positivity. Yeah, yeah. And he's like, I just saw you, right? And I'm like, yes, you did. And he's like, quit right now. Go upstairs. Go upstairs right now. Quit this job.
No shit.
You cannot be seen working the door of this. He's like, executives come through this door every night. They're going to see you and think of you as the door guy instead of the kid that just
crushed at Montreal. Yeah,
they're like, go to the Valley, work at Best Buy. I get that you need a job. Do not work here.
Yeah.
And I was devastated. Yeah. I was like, oh. And I like go up to Rita, who's the manager at the Improv, Rita
Love
Piazza.
Rita.
Shout out, peeps, and,
Rita.
She was like, I came up. I'm like, this executive just told me this. I don't know. I think it might be bullshit. I might have to quit. I'm not sure. And she goes, you should quit. She was like, I was kind of waiting for you to say something.
She knew.
Yeah.
Well, because they know who's ready for to be let go. Like it's like they can tell that's like you shouldn't do this right now. Like you're at a point. You were at a point when it was like. You have to, the baby bird's got to fly at some point, which I think happens all the time in our business of like, there's a lot of door guys at the store that like, all they needed was then a little nudge to be like, you got to quit, dude, because you're too good to be here.
And also,
anymore.
If you stay, then you get stuck.
Well, then they see you as that forever.
Yeah.
Then you are that person for the rest of your life, which is fine. You know, I mean, it depends on what your trajectory is. I mean, Eddie, our favorite Eddie, the bartender from the Improv, Eddie was a background actor in the Improv TV show and then just stayed. He never left. So he bartended forever and never left. And he's fine. He lives there. People know, some people know, he lives underneath the bar. There's like a, it's like a.
I wish he did.
What is it? What is it called? It's a Murphy bed underneath the bar. It actually, the bar flips over into a bed. I love Eddie so much. I did his podcast and we did it at the bar.
I did that too.
Well, he was like, and he was like, the sliding doors were open and that's on Melrose. So it's like,
the worst sound.
I was like, Eddie, do you want to? And he's like,
also,
nah, it doesn't matter.
Like not a great interviewer. Like
Eddie's, because he's the sweetest. He just loves us as guys that he knows.
It was just like, he would just shit on you every once in a while.
All
be
the
like,
time.
You're telling a story and he'd be like, yeah, because you're an idiot.
Yeah,
you're like,
okay,
all right, he got me, dude.
And he, like, he said, I think he did say one. I think he hit me with one where he was like, "That show you did wasn't that good," and I was like, "Oh,
well, he
okay, Eddie."
Eddie used to give me notes because I was my job when I first when I moved to Hollywood. I was like, I'm gonna, because I was a huge Evening at the Improv on Annie fan when I was growing up. That was on. There was like literally 1,000 episodes of that show.
Yeah,
they just churned it out for like. 15 years.
Yeah, Bud Friedman was on a tear at one point.
Yeah,
he was like, film everything!
Yeah, everything must be filmed. And so I grew up watching that show and being like, oh, this is the Mecca.
Right.
And so when I came to Hollywood, I'm like, I got to get a job there. I went there every day for a month straight, and they were like, we don't have any jobs. Until finally Rita's like, Jesus Christ. Okay, you can sit here during the day. Normally we have an answer machine during the day.
You could be that.
You're the human answer machine. You'll sit there. You'll answer the phone.
Yeah.
You'll transfer calls and you'll write down messages.
But how excited were you to be? You were so, like, fucking, yup.
Yeah, I sat there in that little ticket booth that they used to have.
In the front.
In the front.
Oh, yeah.
And I would sit there all goddamn day, and Eddie would come in early to set up the bar, and it's just me like trying to chop it up with Eddie. And
I can already feel this. Yeah. The young Adam being like, hey, Eddie.
Just trying to, and doing dumb shit where I would like, when nobody was there in the middle of the day, I'd go on stage because I was not allowed on the stage. Like,
right. No.
It was like, you're not allowed just to like, if you work there, they don't give you a Saturday 8:30 spot. You know?
Right.
And so I would like go and like practice taking the mic out of the stand.
Would you really? And do the walk up and everything?
Like, yeah. And like, where to put it, to the right. And like dumb, like little kid shit. But I was just so geeked out to be there. And also I was like, I was 20 years old. So
yeah, it was perfect.
Yeah. I was like,
but you needed those kind of things. Like, honestly, I think that helped you. Cause by the time I met you, you were so comfy on stage that everyone I knew when we were all starting, some of us were comfy, but so many of my friends were still going through it, but you knew that they had it in them. We just needed to like figure it out. And I think working there so young was what like, you saw it constantly. You were like, oh, I just have to just monkey see, monkey do the behavior, because the material and everything you already know.
Well, I truly felt, and any young comics that are listening, like, work at the best comedy club in your area. Don't work at the dog shit one.
Right.
Like, because I had friends that worked at much worse comedy clubs.
Yeah.
Like the Hollywood and like the Comedy Store are like the two comedy clubs that you can say night in, night out, the best comics in the
country.
In the country for sure are going to be there. And maybe the Comedy Cellar in New York.
Right.
There's a handful of them, but like not many.
Right.
And I'm like, just you saw what worked and what didn't and what felt hacky. And then like a road dog would come in off the road and would be doing like kind of hacky crowd work. And you're like, oh, that feels weird after just seeing Chris Rock.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
You're like, oh, you see the difference. And it also worked. Like, his hacky road stuff works.
Yeah. Anybody having an anniversary or a birthday?
The audience loves it. Oh, they eat it alive. But you're like, oh, there is a difference.
Huge.
Yeah.
Well, you got to feel it out so early. Like, you got to, and that's, here, I want to show you something. This reminds me. And we're rattling off the improv stuff. So it brought me down a rabbit hole of memories. But the improv was the first club to pass me.
Yeah. Well, me too, obviously.
But. Yeah, and look at this. And
I feel the Comedy Store just passed me. Like I've been like now, successful for like 10 years, and then finally, like, all right, you can
go. This is from Eric Abrams.
I feel like they painted my name on the wall before I was fully. I'm dead serious.
Because they were like,
my name was like, on the wall on the front of the Comedy Store before I got an official. You can call in your avail.
Or they just forgot. That's so funny if they're like, he's passed. And they're like, oh, we didn't tell him.
Do. I honestly think there is like a little bit of a, because when Tommy left, who was the booker of the
Comedy Store. Yeah.
He left. He like, I would go there and he'd tell me, he's like, you just got to hang out for 6 months.
That's what he would say to me all the time.
He's like, hang out for 6 months. You got to be part of the culture.
You got to live like, here a little bit.
And I'm like, telling Tommy, I'm like, I totally get that. I'm executive producing, creating a TV show right now that I'm
gotta
the
hang
star
out.
Of. I can't come here every
TV
night.
TV shows or whatever. Gotta hang out.
Gotta hang out. And I'm like, I don't think I can hang out.
I don't think it matters, dude. No, well, he didn't. His whole philosophy was that, like, if you're not a part of the community, you're not gonna fit in here. It's not gonna work.
And there is something to that for sure.
Some.
But then the new batch came in, and
when Adam came in, it changed everything.
Yeah, Adam came in and was like, you're passed. We would love to have you here. And I'm like, what? Really?
He's like, you're hilarious, right?
I don't have to hang out here every night for 6 months?
No, we need you here.
Months?
Yeah,
He's
need you here.
Well, you're funny. I've seen you before. We like you. Yeah. You should be here. And I'm like, oh, thank God.
At some point, it figures itself out. I mean, that whole system change was it needed to happen.
Yeah.
Look at this. This is my lineup from, I wanted to show you this. Eric Abrams sent me this, who Eric used to book the Improv years ago.
Shout out.
And listen to the names of this. This was me, Tony Vinn, Sean Kelly, Alex Moore, Chris Neff, Sickler.
Yes.
And Darren Carter closed the show.
Oh, shit. What was his?
the party starter.
Yeah, Darren.
But I could, but this, Carter, but like this, starter. I still have the lineup still in my phone.
That's
because
awesome.
When he sent me the email, here's why it was so important. I got passed on my birthday, 10/16. He goes, your first improv set was on my birthday. I was in Vegas.
Wait, 2016?
No. 10/16, my birthday.
Oh, okay.
October 16th.
Of what year?
2009.
Okay.
That was my first time getting passed there.
Okay.
Before that, I was doing whatever shows, you know, before I got...
Whoa, dude, we're getting old. Older. That was a long time ago now.
Yeah, it's 11 years ago now, man.
That's a long time ago.
And because before then, from 2006 to 9... Or like around 7 to 9, you would do booked out shows or what? People that don't understand is like when you're not before your regular, you just have to have a booker book you on that's an outside party, and I would do those a ton. And then Abrams finally was like, I think I should pass you. I'll let you do a improv book spot. But I was in Vegas with my best friend who was living there, took a job, and we were going out to party. And I'm not kidding, I was like, I have to check this email. For whatever. And this is back then. I don't even remember. I don't know if I had an iPhone. I might have not even had. But
you
I
had
was
a
like, can
BlackBerry
I?
Pearl.
Right. Yeah. I was like, can I jump on your computer? But I remember being in his office looking at my email and being like, holy fuck, I just got my first spot. That place holds a really special, improv has such a special place in my heart. Because it just kind of had this, the beginnings of LA for me were there.
Yeah, me too.
Specifically. Yeah. And now... You've gone very far in your career. Let's catch people up to real speed. You fucking The Righteous Gemstones.
Yeah, man.
Come on, dude. I auditioned for that show, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I auditioned at the very beginning.
What
I don't know. Were you I don't know. For? Yours. Okay. No, I have no, honestly, I have no idea. I don't remember what I auditioned for, but I was doing I'm Dying Up Here.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because when did you guys start that show? 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
3 years ago, we did the
pilot,
and then last year we did the full season,
right?
And then this year has been a wash.
So, right, I think I was just getting off I'm Dying Up Here, and I went out to do something on the pilot.
By the way, dude, I don't know if I think I reached out when it was on, but
and you just wrote boo.
I just was like not a fan. just not a fan of what you do.
Oh,
but...
Adam, what does he mean by that?
Wow,
I don't know, huh? Well, thanks.
No, dude, I loved. I understand that there's a reason it didn't catch on is because it's very inside baseball.
Too much.
And shows like that tend not to do that well.
They bomb.
But I fucking love it.
Well, I love you for saying that.
I love them. And I thought it was great. I really did.
I appreciate it. It wasn't that good. It wasn't that good, according to America and the critics. Thank you, guys.
Hey, they've never liked anything I've ever done. So
isn't it so funny, though, like when you're...
Well, America, maybe. The critics? No.
Never.
No, the critics actively dislike me.
But I just feel like everyone I've ever talked to, they all have the same... They always go, oh, they hate me. And I'm like, do they like anybody? Do they ever go, this was good?
You have to be like... A skinny British lad or something. Right. You can't be anyone that they're friends
right.
with.
Right. They're like this. You have to be some wild, enigmatic creature that they've never seen.
Yeah, you
got to
be like an Irish brute that just came in from the countryside that they've never met before. Right. And they're like, whoa, where'd he come from? Right. And you're like, there's a fucking village of this guy.
Right. There's a thousand of these guys right now.
There's thousands
of these guys. Oh, just chopping a tail back there. And then they're like, yeah, put him on the movies.
He's
so hot. I'm coming.
He's a star. Rub some dirt on his face. Oh, God.
What was the funniest of all the films you've done? Because you've done so many. I mean, honestly, and some fucking phenomenal film. You loved Mike and Dave.
Mike and Dave was probably my best.
Do you know
time.
Why I say you like that and I projected that on you? Because it was so much fun.
Yeah.
I knew in my head, you know when you know a friend is doing something, you're like, they're having so much fun.
Oh, he's having a good time.
Yeah, dude, I could just feel it. I was like, dude, he's having so much fun. That's just so, like, what was, of all the fun things that you've done, what was the worst review that you read about yourself or heard about yourself?
Oh,
like what was the most like biting where you're like, ow, man?
I don't know. They've always been fairly nice to me.
They don't go right for me.
It's usually the projects.
Oh, or the thing itself.
It's like it's garbage.
Well, that's nice that they don't attack you.
Yeah,
because when they write about you, specifically?
I mean, it's a lot of Instagram or Twitter messages that are like, does he have Down syndrome? No, I seriously want to know. No, I seriously, no, dude, it is, I swear to God, you write in,
does he have
Down? It's like, does Adam Devine, autofill, have Down syndrome? Yeah, because enough people out there have been like,
I'm doing it. I have to see right now. Does Adam Devine?
Yeah, look it up. Does it come up?
Does Adam Devine have Down syndrome is the number one searched. And then it's play piano. And then,
oh, sure.
And then third is have Downs. So yeah. The street slang version.
Well, I did a movie where I
Dude,
played piano. And so that makes sense.
Yes.
But
they want to know if you're faking it.
More sense is if do I have Down syndrome?
Right. How about this?
Hey, can I get another hit of this one?
100. Yeah, please. Please.
I'm partying today.
Here's my top three.
Yeah.
Does Andrew Santino have a special? That makes me feel good.
Okay.
Who does Andrew Santino...
Well, no, that's good. They want to know more.
Wait, but who does Andrew Santino play in Dave? The redheaded guy. The only redheaded guy.
The one that looks exactly like
him. If you
him.
Saw Dave, you'd know which guy was me.
Absolutely.
Unmistakably.
For sure the one
it's
that is
It's two black
you.
Guys, a skinny Jewish guy, two an Asian girl, and me.
A skinny Jewish guy.
And a white girl and me.
Named Dave.
Named Dave. And the third one is... What car does Andrew Santino have? Why would someone want to know what car I have? What do we? Why? Like, that means Google shows you what the most search algorithm is. That means people are sitting at home going, "I love Adam Devine. He's hilarious." Does he have Down syndrome?
Does he have just a little sprinkle?
It's weird
or to quote
search.
Ryan Sickler, a little dash of Downs.
And honestly, of all the stuff that you've done, and I genuinely mean this, as a friend, it's really weird to give friends compliments because it always sounds disingenuous on camera, but you do know I love you, and I've always thought what you did from the jump was great. Making your own shit, Workaholics, was phenomenal. And since then, you've made so much good stuff. And I mean that, dude, genuinely, as a friend. I think you made so much great stuff.
Appreciate
and
that.
Now, you and the work jerks, that's what the kids call them, now you guys are making a podcast, finally, which, by the way, you should have done... Everybody wanted you to do one forever, and I know it takes a long time, but this is important.
We should have been doing one, like, because essentially the podcast, it's called This Is Important.
Yep.
Please like and subscribe.
Please.
We should have been doing, it essentially is us.
It's you guys.
The conversations that we would have in the Workaholics writer's room.
Right.
I'm like, why didn't we just fucking mic our asses
God,
up?
If you recorded that, would have been so fucking great.
And just call it the writer's room sessions. It would have been fucking great.
Yeah, it would have been incredible. Especially because, I mean, you know how rare it is to have friends, actual friends outside of the workplace get together to work in a writer's room. Because a lot of times rooms are a ton of different people from different walks of life and they're all contributing, which is great. But... You guys being good friends beforehand and then getting to work in the room together,
I think that's
so rare.
It lended itself and why kind of Workaholics out the gate was embraced by a lot of people because
it
truly felt like these guys are friends.
It was real.
It wasn't like three actors who they have to get five or six episodes in before they kind of start to cook with each other and have a few like nights out and a few like fun drunk dinners.
You know when they
did
it
like,
in production? It's like, you guys should go eat together.
Yeah,
you're
for
like,
sure.
Okay, like, dude, I'm not going to fucking learn this guy in 48 hours.
Yeah.
Like I'd have to know you because you guys have known each other for years and
yeah, we fully lived together for years and years.
So I mean, that to me is like the gold of that. Is so hard, but you guys are capturing it genuinely. The podcast is fucking great, and people need to listen
man.
To This Is Important. It's awesome.
Thank you.
And it's great because what was great about your show, and honestly, I'm not placating. The reason that the show is good is the reason that you guys are good on the pod as well, is because you guys are very, very different. Knowing all of you personally, as I've grown to learn all of you, like as I become friends with each of you outside of the show, you obviously first, but then I grew to know Durs.
Yeah, you
because
worked with
Durs on we
something.
Did the worst pilot of all time together.
Yeah.
We did a pilot called How I Met Your Father, which was the spinoff to How I Met Your Mother.
Which, by the way, all of us were like, when Durs got that, we were like, oh, Durs is about to be our richest friend. He's about to like...
It was a big deal at the time.
Yeah, we were like, oh, he's about to be like a 100 millionaire for sure. It's going to go 30 seasons and he's going to be making a million an episode.
So they asked me, CBS asked if I was okay because I had to... I was playing a gay guy, her gay brother. And CBS was like genuine about it. They were like, are you going to be comfortable if the show continues being recognized publicly as a straight man playing a gay person? And you got to remember, this is years ago. Now the conversation would be so different.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't care that I play a gay person on the show. And they were like, we just want to know your comfort level with homosexuality. I'm dead serious.
Wow.
Because they wanted to know how I was going to like, well, if for this sure. was going
to
be a thing.
I guess that's a question that you have to ask. But like,
and I took the I hate fag sticker off my car the same day. Yeah. I was like, I got to get this on my fucking car.
Scribble that out. Yeah, I feel like that's a question you have to ask. But
no, it was, but it was interesting because I get why it was so.
And also,
a big
still
deal.
To this day, I disagree with. I think straight people should play gay people and gay people should play straight. Because if you say that, straight people can't play gay people, then that means that gay people can't
play straight people. It's insane.
It's just, it's all acting.
Yeah, what
so
are we
anyone
talking about?
Should play anyone.
Right. But, anybody could play. Anybody should play anyone.
But I don't want to get canceled, so.
Well, you are, dude. This podcast is being renamed canceled right now.
In here, we pour whiskey.
This episode of Whiskey Ginger is brought to you by Buffalo Trace. This is damn good whiskey. The distillery was just named 2020 Distillery of the Year. The San Francisco World Spirits Competition had some of the best whiskey tasters in America judging hundreds of whiskeys, and Buff Trace won the most. Come on, man. You know I pushed Buffalo Trace before in the past. It's the only bourbon with balls. Okay, 1773, they started doing their thing, and they never stopped since then. Also, during Prohibition, they got themselves a permit to make whiskey for medicinal purposes, quote-unquote, which I love. It is medical. I need it. I need it to operate, doctor. Fill me up. The Buffalo stands strong. This stuff is great. I've told you guys about them. Harlan Wheatley, the master distiller over there, I met him. He is a cool dude, man. He's got craft vodka they're making over there. They're trying out tequilas, all sorts of different kinds of spirits. But they perfected whiskey. I can tell you that their bourbon is unbelievable. Made from corn, rye, and barley. Matures twice as long as most bourbons on the market. They throw it in those oak barrels for 8 years. Most robust I've ever tasted. For its price point, I got to tell you, it's phenomenal. It's distilled, aged, and bottled by Buffalo Trace Distillery, 90 proof, Franklin County, Kentucky. Buffalo Trace, it's American, family-owned, and independent. Go pick up a bottle today from your local liquor distributor. Please drink safely and enjoy these holidays. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who got the best stuff for my balls? Manscaped. You know it, baby. I've been pushing Manscaped for a long time now. I trim my nuts with that Lawnmower 3.0. It's incredible. They're now introducing the new performance package with the hygiene bundle. It comes included with the Weed Whacker, the ear hair and nose hair trimmer. You got to get it because I know you're using the old school. The old school ones that you get from the local store are nada good. Nada bueno. They get stuck in your hair and your schnoz and it pulls and you're bleeding. So annoying. And you don't want the old man hairs. You don't want the guy from Up's hair sticking out, although he's cute. But this new Weed Whacker is 9,000 RPMs, dude. It's fast. It'll put it up against any Hellcat on the street. 360-degree rotator dual blade system. It's proprietary skin-safe technology, so you're not going to nick and cut yourself and pull and tug. It's incredible. They got that crop preserver in there, that ball deodorant, the crop reviver, the ball toner to make your nuts soft. Soft like it was when you was a child. You're going to get these replaceable blades every 3 months as well for the weed whacking lawn mowing time to clean up and enjoy your holidays indoors with your partner. Manscaped, thank you so much for making our holes look sexy. Right now, Whisk Ginge fans get 20% off and free shipping with the code WHISKEY at manscaped.com. 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that code WHISKEY. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds. The holiday season is upon us, and people are shopping like crazy. If you're an online seller and you're struggling to keep up, I'm telling you, ShipStation is the best. We use ShipStation. I love ShipStation. I cannot recommend them enough. Fastest and easiest way and most affordable to print and ship all your orders conveniently, dude. ShipStation is so simple to use. It's so user-friendly. It helps you get your stuff out the door quickly, whether you're selling on Shopify, Amazon, eBay, or your own website. They're going to bring everything into a simple interface to make it simple for you to use, manage, and distribute. USPS, FedEx, UPS, even international, whatever you're selling, unless it's super illegal, and then I don't think you can use it. But whatever you're selling, it gives you the best deal that they usually give to these massive companies. They bundle it for you, for the small business owner. It's the number one choice of online sellers. Right now, Whiskey Ginger fans, they can go to ShipStation.com. Try ShipStation for free for 60 days. That's 2 months. In layman's terms, if you use that offer code WHISKEY. Make sure your business can meet the demands of the massive online shopping season. Get started at ShipStation.com today. Click on that microphone on the top of the homepage. Please help us out here. Type in WHISKEY. ShipStation.com. Enter the promo code WHISKEY. ShipStation.com. Make ship happen.
I like gingers.
No, I think, but that's just what an obvious observation. Any human would go, yeah, dude, you should be able to play other things, right? Like, otherwise you're limiting what anybody can do. So they were, but the one thing I will say, and I don't care, it's not like I signed anything. We were joking around the when we were doing the pilot taping live, and we kissed each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they're laughing.
Who? You and Durst?
No. Durst played her husband.
Yeah, that's right. I was like, Drew. I didn't know this backstory.
No, yeah. Well, we would kiss each other before we would shoot.
Yeah, before and after
good luck.
Every
good
shoot.
Luck.
Yeah.
And then we would go. Mm-hmm. No,
makes sense.
No, Drew and I, who played my husband on the or boyfriend on the show, we kissed like in between a take as like, you know, somebody broke and then somebody came up to us and was like, hey, you guys can't kiss. Like, I know you guys are having fun, but like, we can't, when we're taping, you can't kiss. I was like, oh, well, we were just fucking around. Like, we were fucking around. You know what I mean? And it was like a cheek. It was, I kissed him on the forehead and on his nose. And they were like, no, it's okay. It's just, you know. And I was like, oh, right on.
It's too sexual.
Right. Right. And they made it seem like it was like, I ripped his pants off. But I remember the feeling of like, right. I know what they're doing. What they're saying is like, we're cool with showing gay, but we don't want to show
real affection.
No, but me and Durs did this pilot, and it was so bad they didn't want anybody to see it, so they buried it. And it was everybody's fault. Nobody was good. Nothing about. We just didn't do a good job, and they showed it to me.
But it's hard. No, pilots are.
Oh, they're so hard, dude. But they showed it to me in CBS. They made me, or they asked me to go watch it, and I watch it by myself in like a vaulted room at CBS. Yeah.
Those are. That's always the weirdest.
Dude, they were like, okay, enjoy, click. And you're by yourself, and it was so uncomfortable.
And you're not allowed to eat or drink anything
in
this
room. Can't bring anything in the room.
The room, because I've done that with...
Oh, you know.
Multiple times.
So uncomfortable.
There's we'd like to show you the movie. You could come in. You could invite one other person. So you end up inviting your, manager or whatever.
Right.
And then it's just you guys sitting alone in this tiny little theater that you're not allowed to bring... Water.
Can't bring water.
It's like, what do you think is going to happen in
here?
Yeah. And also, if I spill a...
It's water.
I don't give a shit if it's fucking...
Hawaiian punch.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this white couch.
And it's also, you know, you're one of the stars of their show.
Right.
On the day of the show, when you're shooting, they'll give you anything you want.
Right.
Treat you like a king.
Like, we got
you
a Ferrari.
But then they're showing you the product, and they're like, you're... Hey, you better drink some water beforehand because
there's no water allowed in the room.
Because if this room gets wet at all, you're banished from Hollywood.
It's a rule
you're blacklisted.
And you know that. Why is that? Everybody knows that. And I watched the pilot and I talked to Durs right after. And I was like, this is embarrassing. He's like, yeah, I'm glad. We were all very, but the cockiness around it, Durs will tell you. Dude, the first day of shooting, they had cupcakes. I'm not exaggerating. It said C-U-N-N-Y. C-U-N-N-Y, the letters. Because
C-U
in New York.
Okay.
Because the show, because Carter and Craig were the creators who are brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And they did How I Met Your Mother. And they did this show as well. And they live in New York. And they were like, we have to shoot in New York. So we were going to move to New York if it went. And honestly, genuinely, not to their discredit, we bombed the pilot so bad. Those guys couldn't have fixed it if they tried. We were all so... I don't think anyone did a good job. Like, every actor, we were terrible.
Well, admittedly, everyone thought that it was going to go. I remember when Durs was like, I'm... do it. Because me and Durs have, very different ideas of how we want our careers to go.
Well, you're completely different guys.
For sure.
Like, couldn't be farther apart.
Couldn't be more different. Right. But I've always been like, I want to do... a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
But then also, have a movie career. Like, to me, I'm like, I want to, make big, fun comedy, silly comedy
and
movies.
And you do.
And Durs is like, I want to get on a sitcom and ride that sitcom for, 8 years, 8-10 years.
Yeah.
Which also...
More power to you.
That's awesome. Well, that's also a great career move. But, so when he was like, I just got... the husband role in How I Met Your Father.
Yeah.
I was like, you did it.
Baby boy, you did it.
I
genuinely, when he got it, I was also happy it was him because I was like, oh shit, it's people I know. So it gave me a little bit of confidence. But when I started to see the hubris, I was like, oh no. It rubbed me the wrong way that people were like, you gonna buy a place in New York, or are you gonna rent? Rent for the first year? And I was like, what are you guys talking about? We didn't even start the pilot, and people were already like, flying to New York, looking at places. I got so nervous. Yikes. I was like, what are you saying? And also, you know, my wife, the old bag, she was she hesitant. Loves that. She loves does. That. She does. Yeah. Well, it's for the fans. The old bag was like, she knew. She's so keen. She was like, I don't think we're moving to New York. She's not a part of it. She knew nothing about it. She just had like a vibe. Also, because I came home the first day and I was like, this is really hard to shoot. It was just different. I've never done multicam.
I've never done it either.
I'm bad at it. I am so bad. Hey, multicam people, don't hire me. I'm so bad. I'm going to save you time. I'm so bad at it. It's embarrassing. I'm so bad. Dude, I would wish I was good. But every time I go for it, they're always like, we love you. And I'm like, I'm going to fucking bomb. I'm going to bomb. I'm not good at those things. I'm single cam all day. Put me in front of audiences on single cam is fine. I could be a crowd of people. Something about multicam rhythm. It's a technique that people don't get.
It is like a skill set.
Really is, dude.
When I was doing Modern Family, which was single camera without an audience, but it was just like their dialogue is real fast and snappy, and like the jokes per minute are
insane.
Peeking out.
Yeah.
And a much different cadence than Workaholics, which is just rambling, finding our way, improving our way into the scene and out of scenes, and we find buttons and tags while doing the improv. But doing that show, I was like, oh, I don't know what the only note I ever got was faster.
Really?
Because I speak slowly. Like, I have a slow cadence.
But you're articulate.
Slowly, because my brain works slow. It takes a long time for these words to come out.
I can see the guy in your head doing the wheel, just like, we're doing click, our click, best. Click, click.
It's Relax. All coming. It'll come out. It's coming out. So that was like the note I would constantly get. It's just like
faster. Because the show is unbelievably fast-paced. A little-known fact that people don't know, hate to spread Hollywood rumors, but Ed O'Neill, every time you guys were on set, would spank you. It would give you a spanking.
100% true. Yeah.
Why is that? Why would he do that?
I got a nice ass, man.
You do, dude. You're very bubble. You have a nice bubble butt. You got a bubble butt.
I got a donker down.
You got
there.
A killer tush, kid.
Yeah, thank you.
You got a killer tush. Who? This is fun. Who have you worked with that you didn't think you were going to keep in touch with, but oddly enough, kept closer than you ever imagined? There's always somebody. Because for me, while I give you time to think, a lot of people, I'm always like, oh, we're going to be best buds, and we don't talk again. Mm-hmm. And some people I film with, I can't believe we became so close, and we're now closer than we've ever been.
I feel like some of the directors that I've worked with, like...
You guys just became, like, really tight.
Became, like, true friends. Like, Jake Szymanski, who did Mike and Dave. Like, Todd Strauss-Schulzen, who did Isn't It Romantic?
Good. So good.
I'm like...
So many good people. So many good directors, by the way.
Yeah, and I'd say, like, me and Aubrey are just... We don't talk all that often, but like we're just.
She doesn't talk to anybody much.
Yeah, no, yeah. she's an odd duck, but I love her.
Yeah, she's great.
I feel like we're just gonna be buds for the rest of our lives.
But you know what I mean, though. It's like typically when you shoot something, you always think there's one person, two people that you're like, it's my bud, and then sometimes they dissipate. It dissipates, and you're like, wow, we were so close. It was so weird. It like the little moment. I mean,
well, admittedly, my fiance, we did a movie together. We did The Final Girls, which Todd Strauss-Schulzen also directed. And
Malin's in that, my homie Malin.
Yeah, Malin Ackerman's in that. And we kind of got to know each other on the... And then now
life.
Fianced.
Yeah, life happened.
And when it's still in my phone. It's Chloe Bridges' Final Girls.
Shut up. Because
you put like what you...
Well,
know,
how you met.
How you met. Yeah.
That's so wild.
Yeah.
Now it's she's your fiance.
Fiance.
People don't know... however, oddly enough, you don't live together. She lives on a boat out in the Pacific.
She does, yeah.
What is that about? Why? In
fact, she lives, and not even that far.
It's right off the coast?
40 yards.
Oh, really?
She's anchored 40 yards just off the coast.
Right where the break wall is.
And I live on the beach, so it's kind of like just a little separation.
You just wave her in or something?
She takes a rowboat.
Cool.
She rows in.
She rows in every day?
She rows in when she has to take a shit.
Breakfast! What?
No, we do not have breakfast.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
that makes sense.
She catches her
brekkie. She catches her breck, really?
Her brekkie,
catch
yeah.
and cook, dude.
Yeah, but we're
I respect
not
that
to,
about a girl.
We're not allowed to shit on the boat, so she does row in
right.
To use the restroom.
Right. Mm-hmm. She's a great girl.
That is a little known fact.
Yeah, no, people should know it yeah. and spread it around. She's a wonderful human being. I met her with you. I think the first time I met her was at, I think you took her to the, maybe to the comedy club is maybe the first time I saw you
yeah,
guys together.
I would take her.
And she, you would take, you would show her off is really
would,
what it is.
I would have her on my arm.
Yeah. You'd go, guys, want to meet the babe? And we'd all go, ooh, ooh, he's here
ooh.
With the babe.
Guys, I got a babe. Make room for the babe.
Here comes my babe. How
I would enter the room first. I'd go in the comedy store green room backstage and close it. I'd go, wait here. And would close the door and be like, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce the babe.
And she goes, hey, boys. And we're all smoking. And yeah. we're like, oh, yeah.
And
ooh,
then,
la, la.
And then I go,
and we turn to our left, and it's actually Phil Collins is right there playing not a Phil Collins song.
Playing,
that was
think,
Bodyguard. If you be my mind, Paul
yes,
Simon.
Yes, I think that's Paul
anyway,
Simon.
Anyway, that's between them. They
Phil
have to fight
Collins
that out. Playing football, Paul
was
Simon.
There with his daughter, Lily Collins. She was a babe for someone else.
And that happens. Dude, I want to ask you genuinely. You're starting Righteous Gemstones again, you told me. Are we allowed to talk about it?
No.
No? Great.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, perfect. Danny is, to me, unequivocally one of the funniest people I've ever, but also so good of an actor. It's annoying. He's annoying to me because he's so good at being that character that people I know but think that's who he is. But he's not at all.
For sure.
Like, it's so annoying that you're like, oh, fuck, that guy's such a cartoon.
He tends to play, like, kind of boorish, dickhead,
yeah.
like, asshole-type characters.
Yeah.
Because that's hilarious to play.
Well, it's
and
all,
I do
it's
that
so
sometimes, too. Like,
you're
I'd
more
say,
you're more endearing. He's more, like, brute. He's more brutish. He's
yeah,
more
yeah.
like,
yeah,
that's how it is,
little,
bitch.
Yeah.
Like, that's typically, yeah, his vibe is always like
but
right
then
in your face.
He truly is. Well, by the way, I texted him yesterday and he didn't text me back. So a little bit fuck him.
Kind of fuck him.
So
a little
kind
bit
of
right
fuck
now.
Him.
Fuck you, Danny.
But beyond that, he is one of the nicest guys that
sure.
I know.
He seems that way, man.
He's like truly just a good dude and really good at what he does, too. And as a guy who has created shows and has written movies and stuff and knows how fucking hard that stuff
it's
is.
It's impossible.
And to keep that output up
yeah
is like that's what's like you know it's like it's hard to keep churning stuff out.
Oh my god.
And the way he's able to do that and just be like, yep, yeah, okay, done with that show, on to the next show. Hey, did that movie, on to the
man.
Next movie. It's like,
yeah, that stuff,
it's
that,
cool.
It doesn't, it is impressive to me. And also that's why I say annoying, because I'm jealous. It is jealousy when I see guys that are so good at that. You think you're, I imagine it's like when somebody who's really intellectual, because I'm not smart, when someone intellectual meets like the top of their thing, like the head engineer at a thing, and they're like, how do they fucking do it? Like,
yeah,
I'm good too, but that's annoying because yeah. they're like around the corner when you're just trying to catch up a little bit. But the show genuinely is fucking phenomenal. And
thanks, man.
I can't wait to see. And you're really sexy on it, dude. You
I'm
really
doing
do look.
Something.
You look hot on there,
I'm
man.
I'm doing something.
Is this something about you on the show that your
like
sex
it.
Vibes are hot?
The faux hawk, the sort of,
you
know
look,
what it is?
It's cute,
think,
but also sex.
You know what I think it is? I think
the faux hawk.
The homosexuality that I'm, the possible closeted homosexuality.
Well, it's,
that you're not sure. Is it, is he, is he, will he? What's the
it's will he, won't he?
Will he, won't he?
Yeah.
Situation.
Can he, will he?
And he might.
He won't.
With another he. We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know. And maybe it's too closeted because of all the Christianity. I think that's what you're responding
yeah,
to.
100%. Yeah,
100%. Yeah,
because
yeah,
that's,
yeah.
well, that's, as a Catholic kid, that's,
yeah.
you know. Oh, by the way,
also
speaking of
Catholic
which,
kid, yeah.
The Chicago Archdiocese just paid out like $10 million to kids that they touch. So congratulations to everyone that got checks. Still haven't gotten mine.
Yeah, big shout out to all those kids.
To all those kids.
And we'd like to run the list of names right here if we could. just to shout out the list
if
of
we
names.
We had a scroll. And we just, and we're, yeah. we're like, oh,
scroll. Oh, I actually know.
Oh, Mikey De Nunez. I remember him.
Ryan Jonica, there he is. Too specific of a name.
It's a very, yeah, very, yeah. very, a real kid that got touched. Oh. No, I was plugging my news. I was plugging my morning news feed and trying to get really depressed this morning. And sadly, I saw Ellen got COVID. Ellen, get better.
I saw that too. R.I.P.
R.I.P. No, I know she's alive. She's not dead.
She's dying from it.
Okay, that you happens. Can tell. You By can the way, tell. I can't wait for this to.
By the way,
this to be time stamped.
I immediately take that back because I love doing your show. Bring me back,
JKN, dude.
Just JKN.
That's gonna get time stamped, and then 7 months from now. I will see in the comment thread of a YouTube page where somebody goes, this didn't age well, 48 minutes, 16 seconds.
Yeah, yeah,
and
absolutely.
We'll have to use that. We'll have to use it. We'll have to use, no, Ellen and...
Please do.
Ellen and another person, my favorite...
Uh-oh.
Yeah, no, please, honestly. Well, Buffalo Trace keeps it, they give it's it great. To us, so we might as well have
Love
it.
Love it.
And
hey,
you
Buffalo
know
Trace, come on over to...
Yeah.
This is important.
Why don't you head over to This is Important?
Yeah.
How funny, it's in here too, but no yeah. one ever uses it?
Well...
My
fiance does this with all my booze, and then I'm like,
which is it?
What is it? And also, it just doesn't seem.
It seems like it's too, supposed to stay in there.
It should stay in there.
Yeah,
and then it does.
Yeah,
and then also, it's just a little too fancy for like my whole shit.
Yeah. Well, dude, no. It's not. You know what it is? It's mature.
Yeah.
That's when I see it, I think of my dad. Like. That's a dad thing to have, and now I feel like he would respect me because of this.
Man, you know? Well, we're getting there, buddy.
We're trying. Thank you, Pop. I love you, Pops. By the way, speaking of parents, I've met your parents. I met your dad, especially. And when your parents come into town, man, it's a party.
It's a fucking
You come from
wild...
good stock. I'm being genuine.
And so when did you meet my parents?
I came to the Improv.
Oh, okay. That checks out.
Yeah, years ago, I met your dad and your mom. And maybe it was because you were filming... Comedy Central? Were you doing a half hour? No, what did you do for Comedy Central? You filmed something.
Okay.
And then your mom and your dad
I
were
there.
I did
a lot of stuff for Comedy Central. I can't remember.
Yeah, the network you
I never
were on
did
for
a,
like 7 years.
Yeah, I never did a special for them.
Yeah, why didn't you, by the way? Why didn't they give you a special after Workaholics?
They did. They wanted to give me a half hour, and I...
You said no.
Said no, because I wanted an hour, and then they were like, well, maybe we won't give you an hour. Maybe you should take the half hour. And I go, okay. I just knew I wasn't doing enough stand-up at that time.
Yeah.
That if I did a half hour, because at that time I knew I'd crush a half hour.
Yeah.
But I'm like.
It's 22 minutes.
Yeah. It's like, that's 20
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah. With commercial breaks, you're like,
you
I got it.
Slay 22
I got
minutes.
It.
But I didn't feel I wasn't doing stand-up enough because I was doing Workaholics.
Right.
That I felt like I could get a solid hour after burning that. Half hour.
Oh, bro. Maybe you know what it was? When you did, when we saw your house party, when you started doing house party.
Oh, yeah. That's
and I did the first episode.
You did, yeah.
Of house party. By the way, if you haven't seen Adam Devine's house party, genuinely, it was one of the most
gem.
Fun times I've ever had because it was different. It was a stand up show that wasn't stand up. It didn't make you feel it was stand up. It didn't make you feel like. It never made you feel like you're like, they're going to fuck me up on this. I'm going to look dumb or, you know what I mean? Because sometimes stand-up shows don't really do the thing that they're supposed to do. And you're like, just show them doing stand-up. We did a sketch where I was, I was dating your girlfriend or something?
Oh, that's right. That is right. It was like my ex-girlfriend came to the show with you.
Right, that's what it was. I showed up with your ex-girlfriend.
And... The whole point is like we haven't been dating for like a year or something. Right. Like it's like we've been long, long ago.
Right.
And I'm just like, can I talk to you by the swing set? And like she's like, what?
Like, what are you doing, dude? You're with my girl.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're with my ex, bro.
So the whole point of the show was like there's a narrative thread running through the house party where I'm doing a stand-up comedy show in the backyard.
Yeah.
And so it was really fun.
It was so fun, dude.
What was so fun about it is like – the first season and a half, I got to really get all of my buddies on.
Yeah, the first season is phenomenal.
Oh, it's awesome.
So many funny people on the show.
And I'm like, I really got all my buddies on the show. And then as season two and a half and into season three, it was a lot of people that I'm like, I was a little outside. I wasn't in the comedy clubs every night anymore. Sure. And I wasn't doing the open mics and wasn't like really plugged into who the next wave of comics were.
How could you know?
Yeah. And so like I'd watched a million sets and right. like chose these people and people that I genuinely like, oh, this guy's funny. He's got a good point of view or yeah. like he seems like he has the chops. And then got to write for them. And that was also cool because now I have a whole generation of those comics
yeah.
that I was able to give their first shot to.
Yeah, that's really cool. It was cool, man.
It was rad. I loved it.
I said the one reason I was like, I'm going to tell Adam how pissed I was. We did the first season in Chatsworth, which is like way deep in the valley at this big mansion. And it was super fun. And then as years went on, I see these kids that are like, we're doing it in Hawaii this year. I'm like, what the fuck, man?
I know.
I did it in the valley, dude. I think I sent you a text a while ago after the show had the second season had aired. And I was like, dude, I heard you guys are going to fucking New Orleans. And you're like, yeah, dude. I was like, what the fuck,
dude,
man?
That New Orleans. Well, what's so fun about that show?
Was
so fun partying? About doing it. Yes. It was in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Both New Orleans and Hawaii were just a fucking blast.
Yeah.
Because me, every 2 days, a new batch of comics come into town.
Right.
So for me.
How many weeks?
I'm like for 2 weeks.
Okay.
1 week of prep.
Right.
Where just me and my guys are like prepping everything, sure. finishing storylines and like working on scripts.
Yeah.
And still having a great time.
Party.
And then yeah. and then two straight like sprints. Just dead sprint of like, we start to work at 10 a.m. are done by 10 or 11 p.m. Go out drinking until 1 or 2.
Yeah.
Go fall asleep. Wake up. Back on set.
Damn.
And do it all again for 2 straight weeks. And every 2 days, you have a new group of comics that you are trying to entertain, and you're going, we're going out afterwards. I'm going to take you to this place. We're doing right. this. We're doing that.
And now you know all the spots at some point.
Oh, right? I was so plugged in. Chloe, my fiance, who is a New Orleans native.
She's from there.
Oh, moved here when she was like 12 or 13. So she's not from there, but she's like was
enough.
Enough.
Yeah.
And she was born there and raised there.
Right.
And so like she knows the spots. When we hung out for the first time walking down Frenchman Street, where mm-hmm. we shot House Party.
Yeah.
People were coming out, like owners of bars and restaurants were coming out of the store and being like, Adam! I'm like, my God, what's up, Mario? And like
awesome.
calling people out. And she's like, Jesus Christ.
You know the whole city?
Yeah, she's like, are you an alcoholic? I'm like, I'm a fun having guy.
I'm a fun guy.
Drew Brees
is like, Adam! You're like, yeah. True, chill, yeah, dude.
When you're 32, 3... It's not alcoholism yet. It's called being a fun guy.
You're fun. How old are you now?
30. I just turned 37.
Me too. Cheers, dude.
So fun guy.
Fun guy, dude. You're fucking up above the head. Wait, what's your birthday?
November 7th.
October. I'm older than you. Oh, I didn't realize.
You could tell.
Yeah, I know. It's in the eyes. What did I say to you when you got out of your car? What did I first say?
You were like, your skin looks great.
I go, you look great.
Yeah.
I said, you look glowing. The sun was hitting you right. I was a little horny. I'm not going to lie. But I also was like, you look fucking good when you pulled up, dude.
Admittedly, I did my hair for the first time in like...
But you look cutesy-pootsy.
Thank you.
Why? Because, yeah, you've been in the quarantine mode. You've been chilling, not doing anything.
Dude, I've been wearing sweatpants for like 6 months.
Yeah, I feel that.
I am a fitness influencer now. I am getting out.
Yeah. Do you have a couple of deals? You got a couple of fitness deals?
Not deals yet, but I'm getting free stuff, so I keep perpetuating the influence that I bring
your Lulu,
to people.
Your Lulu cantaloupe?
I'm a lemon.
Lululemon?
Yeah,
I am Lululemon. All right,
yeah,
dude.
I am him.
Okay, dude.
I've been working out. You are
in good shape, dude.
Well, thank you.
You're Zac Efron.
You are as well.
You're Zac Efron.
I'm not. Well, here's the thing. As I'm working out now more than I've ever worked out in my life, I'm legit working out 2 hours every day.
Shut up.
I ride my bike for about an hour and a half every day, and then I do like a 30-minute like high-intensity fucking CrossFit type shit.
Are we talking Peloton or outside bicycle?
Both. I have a Peloton for if it's like too windy or whatever.
I can't do
the
Peloton.
And then I do, I watch shows.
You do? Okay, so that, okay, dude.
I'll like catch up on Breaking Bad.
See, this is my thing. Don't you have to take the class thing?
No.
No, you don't.
You don't have to.
Oh, okay. Because I did it.
My girl takes all the classes.
Right.
I've literally never taken a class.
Oh, you. So can you put anything on that screen?
You can break, you can sort of like break the code Hell and do yeah. it. But I just watch it on my iPad.
Right, right.
And just right there. Just
but see, that was my biggest thing. I did it at a gym. We were on the road and this nice hotel had it in the gym and they had four of them. And I think I was with Rogan and I was like, I'm going to go try that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, tell me how they are. And I go down there and I was skeptical because I'm like, I don't ride bikes ever. I'm not like a, you know, whatever. So what is it? I'm not jerking off two dudes. And I sit on the bike and I started the class and I loved doing it, but I had to turn off the class because I don't like it. I don't like that intensity of like, get up and go down. I didn't like
it. It's too much.
Too demanding.
I admit it. But I like riding bikes.
Yeah.
And I bought a road bike recently.
What's it called? Because like, I don't know anything about bikes.
Specialized.
Oh, Specialized is nice. I know them because the S is cool looking.
Yeah, it's cool.
It reminds me of when we were kids. What was the cool one when we were kids? Dino. Dino. Yeah, Dino. Did you see we got it?
Yeah.
With pegs? Did you have pegs?
I had pegs.
You bad dude. Did you have pegs front and back or just
front
back?
Front and back.
You bad fuck. Could you grind ever, dude?
Not really. Dude. I'm pretty bad at it.
I always had pegs in the back.
I was, I had a bad accident when I was a kid. I think you know that.
I do.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was hit by a cement truck as a kid. So that was fifth and sixth grade. Or no, that was sixth into seventh grade.
Yeah.
And then by eighth grade, I'm kind of back to normal, but I'm a fragile little bitch. You know, like.
You're worried.
For sure.
Right.
Something could snap pretty easily. Yeah. And so, so all my friends were skateboarders and stuff or were playing sports.
Right.
And I'm like, I can't do any of that stuff. So all my friends are like skateboarding, like doing like cool rails and like jumping. And so it's just me riding my bike. So I'm like, give me a BMX bike so I can like at least act like I'm doing cool stuff.
Totally.
And all I could do was throw myself down staircases. Like, that was my move. Like, other kids would be able to do a bunny hop and, like, ride a rail or, like...
You just kept going.
I would just, like, pick a gnarly staircase that people were like, oh, you might fall and really hurt yourself. And I'm like, oh, I've been really hurt before. I know this life. And would just hurl myself down staircases and just... It's just about being far back and just hanging on.
So you were... That's brave as fuck, though. You didn't care. At some point, you were like, fuck it, I don't care.
No, I don't really care about being. I think it was this. Once I got hit by the truck, it was like I've already experienced the most pain that you can experience.
You were
and
what,
it wasn't when you that hit, bad. I mean, it was 10, bad.
10 or
11? I think. Yeah.
Ah, that's so crazy to me, dude.
Yeah. So then after that, I was just like, yeah,
whatever.
What's a broken arm? Or right. You know.
I love that. I love that it takes getting hit by a car to be like, well, because when you're a kid, you're supernatural. You're a kid, you're already like, you think I'm going to get hurt? You're out of your mind.
Yeah.
And then once you get hurt as a kid, you have that, like, you're superhero shit. You're like, I dare you to try to hurt
me. Well, you know what it is? And not to get, like, too deep.
Do it.
But we're getting whiskey gingered.
Yeah, dude, get deep. Get deep.
I think it is... I don't think I'd be doing anything I'm currently doing. Like, I'm amazed at, not to take anything away from anyone, but like.
Please do.
Like, people that don't have any sort of weirdness in their life, I don't know how they have gone full steam down the path that we've gone down.
I know what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
You gotta have a little bit of something.
A little bit of something. And my parents are great, and I was never, no one touched my butthole. Like,
okay. I did.
Okay.
I did.
So that's your thing.
That's my thing.
So for me, it was.
You're kidding.
Okay, yeah.
The archdiocese. The archdiocese. No, I never had butthole touch.
So, but for me, it was the cement truck thing. And I was like, oh, I just knew that I could die like at any second.
Yeah.
And I was so close to it. And everything was broken and rebuilt. And then after, like, everything from the waist down was fully shattered. And they had to rebuild everything. So they were like...
How long did it take you to learn how to walk again?
Almost 2 years.
Damn.
Yeah. And then in eighth grade, I played football.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you were an athlete. That sounds crazy to me.
So they were like... My mom was just kind of on the moon.
She's like, you don't want to do baseball, dude? Yeah, she's like,
really? Nothing else?
Maybe tennis?
I did play baseball. I was just so slow. I was just so slow.
Yeah, but you...
Because I couldn't run.
What'd you play in football?
I was a right guard, so I didn't need to be fast.
Yeah, but still.
Just push people.
Yeah, it's so funny.
And also, I was like middleweight, or you know how they did like weights when you were younger?
In junior high or whatever? Yeah, weight class or Why, what, you're middleweight?
I was a middleweight at that.
I was feathers.
Oh, you were the little...
Bro, I was 5'10", 5'11".
Well, you're a tall guy.
Yeah, but I was maybe like 120 pounds.
I've already been, I think I was always a little short and stout.
I was a rail my whole life. I mean, yeah. I was like, it was gross. My dad was worried. Freshman year of college, I was still really skinny. I started to like actually get like weight on my bones. Sophomore year. Freshman year. You're
just like chugging whey protein.
Just milk and protein, dude. I started lifting at the end of the freshman year because I saw how like, I saw men in college.
Mm-hmm.
Who would go to school. I'm like, these guys are guys.
Yeah,
I'm never going to get pussy. I look like a fucking coat hanger. I look like if you opened up a coat hanger. So my dad says to my freshman year college roommate, this kid, Evan, who was a rugby dude, like a stocky jack dude. And my dad's like, you'll protect Andrew, won't you? I'm not kidding. I was like, wait, what? What do you mean? I protect myself. He's like, dude, they'll fucking kill you out here. Like high school is one thing. You can fight in high school and defend yourself because you're all high school kids.
Yeah.
But college, there's men there. There's like grown men and you're like, oh, dude, I'm vulnerable.
Oh, I...
Like, I can't go get drunk and say some dumb shit in college. They'll kill me.
What was great about this cement truck situation was, especially in high school, was you can truly get your ass kicked in high school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can get your ass kicked.
Oh, yeah.
Especially like as a younger classman. Dude. But I... came with such bravado because I had just beaten this fucking cement truck.
Yeah, you beat the truck.
And I came into it, or came into middle school, sorry, with, like, I'm the crippled kid. So all of middle school, I could say anything.
Right.
You're going to hit the crippled kid? I'm currently in a wheelchair, motherfucker. You're going to hit me? You're going to hit me. I'm the crippled kid.
So did you talk a lot of shit because of it?
Dude, I was a fucking maniac.
You're like, whatever, Mike, you fucking bitch. And he's like, come on, Adam. You're like, shut up.
No, dork. I wasn't a mean bully, but like I refused. If you even threw a little shade at me, I had so much. I was coming back at you so hard. I was so ruthless.
Yeah, because also a defense mechanism, right? Like you're like, I don't have a choice. I have to shit on you.
What it was when
you were quicker and funnier than everybody.
When I was a kid, when I was in elementary school, I was bullied quite a bit.
Yeah?
And
why?
I don't know, actually. I think I was just one kid kind of had it out for me. And right.
What was the thing you got picked on about, though?
It wasn't even a thing. I remember it pretty vividly. It was fourth grade. He came up to me. He's like, I heard what you did. And I'm like, what? And he goes, I heard what you did, bro. Or I don't know if he said bro. But he was like, heard what you did. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And he's like, we're not friends anymore. And then everyone, he was a year older, but is in our grade because he failed. So he's like the ruler of our fourth grade.
I know this guy.
You
know what I mean? I know this guy, by the way.
He's bigger than everybody, kind of has like a couple hairs.
Yeah. Do you have a mustache?
Yeah. And everyone's like, well, we have to follow his lead. And he's like, I heard what you did. And everyone, like within the next week, was like, hey, I don't know, you did something. We can't be friends. And I'm like, and it's a little Catholic elementary school.
Yeah, I heard, we all heard what you did.
And so I'm like, I don't
know. And when God finds out, you're going to hell.
Yeah, and so I talk with my dad, and my dad's just like a dude's dude. And he's just like, is he bigger than you? This is a great impression of my dad.
Yeah.
He's like, and I'm like, yeah, I'm a lot bigger. And he's like, all right. And then my mom goes, hey, Adam, he has to throw the first punch. After that, you can defend yourself and do what you have to do. But
I love moms.
He has to throw the first punch.
Don't you dare hit first.
And my dad's like, absolutely, absolutely. She leaves the room, and my dad's like, hit him as hard as you can in the face. And then he won't want to hit you again. And he's like, but you got to hit him square in the nose. Break his fucking nose.
Right.
And he'll never punch you again.
Right in the fucking schnoz.
Dude, the next day, I just told the story on our podcast, but... The next day, I took that advice. He said some shit in class.
I know what you did.
Okay. I unzipped my backpack, took my fucking book out, went up to him as he's sitting down and fucking teed off on his face. And
really?
Fucking, yeah. He didn't break his nose, but he was just like, oh.
You fucked him
and
up.
And I'm like, what, motherfucker? And I'm like in fourth grade, and I was like, Jesus Christ. And then I wasn't, but I was like, And then he kept kind of bullying me, and all my friends left me and were like no longer my friend. So then when I went to a new school, I was like, I gotta be. And then I was hit by the cement truck really quickly after moving to Omaha. Shortly thereafter,
huh? Yeah.
So then now I'm the crippled kid, and I'm going into school, and just that thought in the mind, it's like all your friends could leave you. This could be your whole high school experience could just be like everyone hating your guts for something that you don't even know what you did. So if anyone picks on you, you have to shut that down immediately.
Yeah, that's wild.
So I couldn't hit anyone in the face because I would be pummeled. So I had the crippled,
two different worlds you lived. Like, I had that's the crippledness so wild.
To go like, oh, you're going to hit the crippled kid? You fucking bully, you bitch.
How nice, though, that you had this, what a dual experience to like humble you out and to level you mentally to understand that shit, right? Like, that's deep shit as a kid to take in. You're like, well, I'm vulnerable. Like, you learn it so fast, being like, well, I guess that like puts you in a weird check. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And luckily now you kick everybody's ass.
Well, I don't know.
Tough guy.
I think it's still a lot of like, oh, you're going to hurt me? The tiny little midget kid? Oh, you're going to hurt the little
hobbit?
You're
going to swing at me, pal?
You bitch?
Well, dude, I love you.
Thanks, buddy.
I want you to have a continued career of obnoxious success, and I mean that. Mm. I hope you and your fiance have a wonderful wedding, if that ever comes around when COVID fucking stops fucking with people's lives. I hope that the boat life that she lives won't interrupt the true life that you want, wherever that may be. You fly free, little pretty bird. We end the episode the same way. You look in the camera when I'm going to walk away, and you're going to say one word or one phrase, whatever you want. It's going to end the episode, so it's going to be on you. I'm going to walk away. Say as you want. Okay, go ahead when you're ready.
Okay. Never going to sleep. Never get tired. Never get sick. I'll tell you why. Shit don't faze me. What?
In here, we pour whiskey.
You were that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.